nos van acabando los premios. Vamos a entregar el mejor premio a diseño de arte y de producción. Esta es una mujer canadiense. La película Frankenstein tiene 9 nominaciones. Mejor película, mejor actor de reparto. Ah, bueno, ahí está el señor de Margot Robbie, el de Las Cumbres Borrascosas, Jacob Lordi. Mejor guión adaptado, mejor sonido, Guillermo del Toro. Y nuestra invitada, Tamara Deverell, mejor directora de arte. Esther, por favor, felicítela por el Oscar que va a recibir muy pronto.
Tamara, good morning and thank you for joining us today on our show.
Morning.
First of all, we want to congratulate you for what we believe is your winning Oscar that you will win very soon.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Aquí vamos entregando estatuillas a lo loco hasta que se hasta agotar existencias. Esther, ¿cuánta gente trabajó con ella? Tengo entendido que lo que más empleó ella para la película fue escultores. Que nos cuente un poco el trabajo con sus artistas.
So we want you to tell us a little bit about the work that you did with the artists. How many people did you work with her? And we also understand that the most amount of people that you hired were sculptors.
Yes, well, we had painters, sculptors, welders, carpenters, obviously, greensmen, we had so many people. I mean, depending on what we were building and at what time we would have a crew of about 100 when we were going full steam building the ship and the lab, which were our biggest sets. And they're all extremely talented. So it was really very much Guillermo wanted something very handmade. And this was really a film that was made by artists and artisans.
Nos responde que era un equipo bastante grande de pintores, escultores, carpinteros, era mucha gente trabajando dependiendo de lo que estuvieran construyendo en el momento. Cuando estaban construyendo el laboratorio del barco, alrededor de 100 personas hacían parte de ese equipo que estaba construyendo todo el set. Eran personas absolutamente talentosas. Guillermo quería que todo fuera hecho a mano, entonces había presencia de muchos artistas y artesanos.
El rodaje se hace sin pantalla verde, se construye todo como desde cero. Entonces yo quiero preguntarle por una escena en particular, que es cuando el castillo, sí, cuando se quema el castillo. ¿Cómo hicieron esa escena?
We know the movie was made without a green screen, so we want to ask about this specific scene when the castle is burning down. Can you share with us how did you do that specific scene?
Well, I think that's, you know, we did use green screen and we had an amazing visual effects team who, again, are also hand drawing on the computer, but they're not using AI, which was a very conscious choice. So for the tower, we built miniatures in the UK with the Magic Light and Camera, a company that builds incredible miniatures. So we had one at 120 scale. And 2 at 140 scale for the explosion scene that we filmed, and then that was augmented. For the part that we built of the exterior tower, we built the entire base to about 10-12 meters tall. It would have been about 100 meters square, I think. I can only think in feet. It was an enormous build of the base of the tower where when they first arrived, but the top of it was extended by visual effects. So in the art department, we drew and modeled in 3D the entire edifice, the entire building, and then visual effects took over seamlessly at some point.
Ellos sí utilizaron ciertos efectos visuales, había dibujos de la computadora, no se usó inteligencia artificial, eso fue como una elección que se hizo muy a conciencia de no utilizar inteligencia artificial. Nos dice que tenían una torre miniatura que se hizo en el Reino Unido, entonces había una empresa pues que les hacía todo esto en escala pequeña para poder representar esta explosión, pero sí construyeron en el exterior, que era como el exterior de esta torre, que medía como 10, 12 metros de alto, 100 metros cuadrados alrededor. Entonces sí se hizo como una construcción bastante grande de la base de la torre, pero con los efectos visuales se hizo la ampliación.
Quiero preguntarle precisamente por la inteligencia artificial. Del Toro le ha declarado la guerra a la inteligencia artificial en el mundo del cine, la detesta. ¿Qué tan importante es para creadores como ella que haya directores que sigan pensando que hay que trabajar con los materiales, con este trabajo que manual para generar ambientes como el de la película?
We know Guillermo del Toro, he has a war set on with artificial intelligence. How important is it for people like you to work and to know that there are still directors who are still very, who still think that it's very important not to use the artificial intelligence and do the handiwork that you guys do?
Well, I think it's extremely important. In fact, for me, I don't even consider it as a possibility for my design work. I would never type in a descriptor and then ask AI to manufacture something. To me, it's important to research, and there's a human quality. There's an emotional reaction to the story and the storytelling that is really important to Guillermo and to me. And when we work together, we're looking for the best way to express ourselves emotionally, but also artistically. And, you know, with so much hand work, you know, making so many things, you can't really rely on AI. Like, it's about layers and textures. And, you know, AI is a tool. I think Guillermo, he does have a war on AI, but it really is a tool, and we need to use it to our advantage, but not overuse it and abuse it. That's my impression. I'm still old school. You know, I still draw by hand when I start a project. Now it might be on with a stylus on an iPad, but I'm still drawing by hand because I just have to. That's how I was trained, and that's my starting point. And research, just so much research, museums, visiting boats, that kind of thing. You can't just rely on AI to do that.
Yes. Bueno, nos dice que es muy importante para ellos no utilizar la inteligencia artificial. Ella no considera la inteligencia artificial en sus diseños. Ella nunca le pediría a esta herramienta construir algo. Ella se basa más que todo en la investigación. Para Guillermo y para ella era muy importante que esa emoción humana, esa calidad humana, se viera reflejada en la historia y en el desarrollo de la misma. Entonces, por eso la expresión emocional y artística no puede, digamos, utilizar tanto la inteligencia artificial, menos haciendo tanto trabajo a mano como ellos lo hicieron. Entonces era muy importante que esas capas, esas texturas se viera reflejado. Guillermo sí tiene una guerra con la inteligencia artificial, pero es una herramienta que, dice ella, se debe usar para la ventaja de ellos y no abusar de la misma. Entonces nos dice que ella todavía es de la vieja escuela, dibuja a mano, es como la entrenaron, y le gusta mucho hacer su investigación en los museos y todo este tema.
Por favor, preguntémosle a Tamara sobre el Ártico o esa escena en donde supuestamente está ese viejo barco encallado ahí en el Ártico. ¿Dónde le hicieron? ¿De qué tamaño era ese barco? ¿Cómo lograron ambientar esa escena que además está en la novela original de Mary Shelley?
I want to ask about the Arctic scene, that scene with the whaling ship that is stranded in ice. Can you share with us how did you build the scene? Where was it made? And yeah, the whole process with it.
Well, that was the Arctic was one of the first scenes we shot. We started shooting in February, and we actually went to a frozen lake, Lake Nipissing, which is north of Toronto in Canada. And it was actually not quite as frozen as we were hoping, but it was frozen enough that we could get equipment on it. We had to have ice experts. So that was part one of it. And that was actually our first few days of filming before it got too warm to have the ice. This view across the lake was really like the Arctic. There was no tree line. It was really great. And then the rest of it, we built the ship in the parking lot of the studio, just because it was handy and close by. We lost our parking lot, which wasn't so great, but what we gained was the ability to watch it grow and you know, manage it on a day-to-day basis. So around the ship, we built about about 250 feet wide, you know, which would be about like 100 meters maybe of ice field both ways around the ship, which was then, you know, augmented by visual effects. So in the wide shots where they push the ship out into the open ocean when the creature frees the ship, that would actually have been Toronto, you would see in the background. So they added to the ice for that. And we did build a ship on a giant gimbal that rotated the ship an exact degree for when the creature pushes it. You know, that was a real movement with this giant gimbal.
Well, thank you so much for your time in W Radio, Tamara. We wish you luck in this award. Thank you for your time.
All
bye
right,
bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Dice que esta escena en el Ártico fue de las primeras en grabar. Nos dice que se fueron a un lago congelado en el norte de Toronto, en Canadá. No estaba tan congelado como ellos esperaban, pero lo suficiente para poder trabajar sobre él. Fue en los primeros días de filmación para poder, digamos, sacarle provecho a ese hielo, y fue absolutamente maravilloso. Construyeron ese barco en un parqueadero que estaba cerca y ganaron allí esa habilidad para poder ver y manejar cada día ese barco. Nos dice que 250 pies de ancho, más o menos medía 100 metros alrededor del barco de hielo, que fue aumentado en efectos visuales, y es la escena donde la criatura se congela en el barco y pues se ve Toronto en el fondo. Así que pues ese fue el proceso de la escena.
Muchas gracias, qué interesante entrevista. Es Frankenstein.